You're listening to The Arts Show, and it's time now for Arts News with Claire Nichols, who's been speaking to the Shadow Minister for the Arts, Tony Burke.
Hello, Ed. It is just days until the federal election, and the Labor Party released its arts policy on the weekend. This policy is called Renewing Creative Australia. It's a rework of a previous Labor policy called Creative Australia. And I started by asking Tony Burke if we should look at this as simply old policy warmed up.
Well, it's a continuation. I was Labor's last arts minister, and when I became arts minister, Simon Crean had only just launched the cultural policy, and that provided what was meant to be a long-term framework for the sector. 6 months later, there was a change of government, and the Liberal Party effectively deleted it, but put nothing in its place. Now, what I don't want to do is say we're going to start from scratch when there's such a substantial document there waiting to be implemented. So that'll be the template, and we'll have a fairly quick consultation process to work out where it needs to be updated. It's a much more effective thing than starting from scratch, which would then mean you've got another 2.5 years without a cultural policy in place.
And as part of that policy, you've pledged an additional $37.5 million in additional funding over the forward estimates to the Australia Council. That effectively reverses the cuts made over the last two terms, but it only really works out to about $12 million a year or so. Is that enough?
What it does is it returns the cuts, that are the Brandis cuts, and they've been a long-running sore, and the impact on them has been deeper than the cuts itself. Because what happened when those Brandis cuts were introduced was a very, you know, the lion's share of it hit independent artists, the small to medium sector. And we've ended up with a very different rivalry to what was around 6 years ago in the dialogue and the narrative between the major companies and the smaller companies.
What do you think needs to be done about the delineation between the major companies and the small to medium companies? Because there is a bit of friction and tension there about the way they're funded.
Yeah, there is. If I can take you back to when I was last minister, I'll never forget the number of times you'd have a roundtable discussion and one person would have a go at one of the majors, like it might be Opera, it might be, you know, one of the majors, and everyone else around the table would straight away turn on them and say, no, we're not going to cannibalise each other in the sector. It's all about trying to increase the pie for everyone because we're all part of the same ecology. Those sorts of conversations haven't happened for years because of the way those Brandis cuts were implemented. So I want to get past this concept of it being one versus the other. We've made clear that in those cuts being returned, that there's an expectation that there'll be a focus on literature, on visual art, and on the small to medium and independent sector, because they're the ones that have suffered the most. There is a further conversation that needs to happen about how we deal with the MPA review. That's something that can only happen through a negotiation with the states as well. And I want that to happen in a context where the Brandis cuts have been returned.
Okay. You're also promising substantial funds for Indigenous arts, including money for a new Indigenous theatre company. Can you explain to me the logic behind setting up a new company as opposed to perhaps talking to the major companies about making a stronger commitment to Indigenous content?
Well, first of all, there are three very significant First Nations theatre companies that exist, Yiriyarkur, Bidjuri and Mungalan. And we've set aside money that if they want to have a pathway through to the MPA framework, that'll be there for them. The difference with the new company as to doing it that way rather than just saying we want more Indigenous content or First Nations content to the existing majors is to change in part the financial power of who owns the stories. I don't think that can be underestimated. There has been some wonderful work. And I've spent a lot of my life going to it, from the major performing arts companies where they've worked with some of the best First Nations artists and playwrights that are in the country. And I don't want in any way to undermine that work. What I want to do, though, is make sure that the additional funds for First Nations stories come through a framework where there's First Nations ownership not only of the stories, but ownership of the way that they're told. And that goes through all the different parts of what brings theatre together.
So that's Tony Burke, the Shadow Minister for the Arts, outlining some of Labor's arts policies. In the visual arts arena, Ed, there's also a $1.5 million commitment to a major light show for Hobart's Dark Mofo Festival. And we did ask the Minister for the Arts, Senator Mitch Fifield, to talk about the Liberals' platform. Unfortunately, Senator Fifield has not been made available. There haven't been any significant announcements on the arts from the Coalition during the campaign, but before the election was called, they announced several major investments under their cultural policy, including $500 million to upgrade the Australian War Memorial, $48.7 million to commemorate the 250th anniversary of Captain Cook's voyage to Australia, and $31 million to the music industry.
Wonderful. Claire, thank you so much for our special pre-election arts news here on RN.